Sometimes we think about, since faith, we know faith is the gift of God, we think of it sort of as a tangible thing that God gives to you. But really, faith is God overwhelming that new heart that He's given with the sight of Christ. And you just can't help but believe. I hope we see that. Let's begin reading in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Joshua is a type of Christ here. His name means Savior. As you know, Moses couldn't take them into Israel. Joshua has to. The law can't take us into glory. Only Christ can do that. Christ alone fulfilled the law. Christ alone is the righteousness of His people. And His righteousness is imputed to us by God's grace through faith, apart from any works we do. Christ alone brings the elect of God into God's presence. And He gets all the glory for doing this. Now that's what we're about to see in this text. As we read here, I want you to focus your attention on the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the first point I have for you here is God magnifies Christ in the heart of His child by showing us what Christ accomplished on behalf of His people. God magnifies Christ in our hearts by showing us what Christ accomplished for His people. All right, now focus on the Ark. Verse 8. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, he's speaking to Joshua here, you shall command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Picture Christ willingly going to give himself to be made sin for his people, to be nailed to the cursed tree, him still going there, standing still, without fear, without being still in his heart, resolved, had his face set like a flint to do this. All right, verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Joshua said this to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. You get the picture here? God spoke it to Joshua. God speaks to Christ. Now Christ is speaking to the children. He says, come hither. He gathers his people. And now he says, now hear the words of the Lord your God. Now listen to this. And Joshua said, hereby shall you know that the living God is among you, and that He will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Now, hereby is how you're going to know God is with you and that God's going to drive out all your enemies. I want to know how I'm going to know that, don't you? I want to know how I can be assured of that. Now, let's set some things up here. The Jordan River, this is where they're at, the Jordan River. It represents our death, our trespasses, and sins. Now, these enemy nations represent all our enemies that separated us from our God. The Jordan River is separating where they're standing. The Jordan River is between them and the promised land of God. It's separating them from that land. God brought them here at this time of the year, and it's not just the normal level of water. Like I said to you, it's flooded all over. And they're standing there before this mighty, roaring, raging river. Now, do you see the picture? God says of us, brethren, your iniquities, your overflowing river of sin, your overflowing river of death, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Our enemies are too many, they're too mighty for us. How then is a helpless sinner? How is a helpless sinner going to cross the overflowing river of sin and death and defeat all our enemies and come in to the presence of holy God and have communion with Him? How's that going to happen? Here's how it's going to happen. Verse 10 says, the living God is among you. The living God is among you, and He will without fail drive out before you all your enemies. How so? Here's how. Verse 11. This is how you're going to know that He's with you and that He will without fail drive out your enemies. Behold, verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. That's how you're going to know. That's how you're going to know. Christ is pictured here in the ark. Just put Christ in the place of the ark with the word ark. Here's how you know God is with you, and here's how you know He's going to drive out your enemies without fail. Because Christ has gone before you into that overflowing river of death. That's how you're going to know. Christ put away all the sin of God's elect and defeated all our enemies by enduring the cross in place of His people. Christ took our flesh. Christ took our sin. Christ took our punishment. Christ took our death. And He stood still in the river of death till it was dried up. Now let's see it pictured here. Verse 13. Verse 13. Well, now we're going to have to do some skipping around for you to see all this, but we're going to cover just about every verse, but just stay with me. Joshua 3:13. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan. As soon as their feet bearing that ark rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, from upstream. And they shall stand upon a heap, upon a mound. And it came to pass, it always does when God says it will, it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, they're going out before the people, that pictures Christ going before His people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. When they stepped in the brim of that water, the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far. That means very far upstream. A comma really should go here. Very far upstream. And from would be better interpreted at. These waters stood up very far upstream at the city of David. That's 20 miles upriver. 20 miles upriver. That is beside Zaratan. That's another city, Zaratan. These cities were about 12 miles apart. They weren't like side by side. They were 12 miles apart. They were beside each other on the same latitude. All right, the city called Adam was on the east side, the wilderness side of the Jordan River, and Zaratan was on the west bank. Now, those waters that came down toward the Sea of the Plain, even the Salt Sea, that's the Dead Sea where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be, those waters that were coming down that way, they failed and were cut off. So what you have here is a dry channel about 20 miles wide for the children of Israel to cross. This is what Habakkuk said. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea that thou didst ride upon thy horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. That's what's being pictured here. How wise and how powerful is our God? You just look at this now. This is why I couldn't just cut anything out. This is good stuff. He brings them to this place where there was a city called David. Right here. This is where they're going to cross. And by this priest bearing the ark and stepping into that river of death, the waters as far back upstream as the city of David were cut off. You remember in Daniel 9:24, it says that Christ would finish the transgression. He would finish the transgression and make an end of sins. Well, all his people were represented in that first man, Adam. All the elect of God that God gave to Christ before the world was made, they were all represented in that first man, Adam. And by Adam's one transgression, death flowed like an overflowing river, generation after generation after generation, and drowned all of God's elect in the flood of sin and death. Every one of them. But by Christ, the last Adam, stepping into that river of death in place of his people, he made an end of the transgression for his people, all the way back upstream to our first representative, Adam. All the way back up there. He undid what got us in the mess we're in. That's what he did. Now look at Joshua 4, verse 10. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. Christ remained on the cross until everything was finished that the Lord, God the Father, commanded him to do. And until everything was finished that Moses commanded him. That is, until everything was finished that the law commanded of him. So Christ hung on Calvary's tree with the sin of his people upon him. And he bore the wrath of infinite justice in place of his people until everything God commanded and everything the law commanded were totally finished. It was done. And when Christ finished the work and was buried, his body was buried. When he finished the work and his body was buried, right then, the fleshly, sinful man of his elect, of every one of them, the sinful body, fleshly body of all of his elect died and was buried so that our body of sin is destroyed. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to read you, I normally read full verses. I'm going to read half a verse today because I want you to get this. Romans 6, verse 6. Look, begin with the word our. You see that? The word our. O-U-R. Our old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. Look at Romans 7. Look at verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Look at verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. It gets better. It gets even better. All right, back at our text now. Go back to Joshua 3. When Christ was raised from the dead, every elect child of God passed over the river of death in him and entered into God's presence in the promised land in our risen Redeemer. When he was raised from the dead, every elect child of God passed over the river of death and entered into God's presence in the promised land in Christ, our risen Redeemer. Now look at our text, Joshua 3:16. And look at the very end of Joshua 3:16. We read everything up to this very last part here, after the words cut off. The waters, he stepped in, the waters were cut off. And it says, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Now look at verse 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. Christ stood in the midst of our death. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now drop down to Joshua 4, verse 11. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over. Not till they were all passed over. The ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. The ark passed over, the priests passed over in the presence of the people. The ark and the people passed over together at the end there. Verse 15. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, now look at that. The Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Now, you know, they represent Christ. These priests holding the ark represent Christ. The Lord commanded Christ and said, command the priests, command. The Lord spoke to Christ and said, command Christ to come out of the grave. That's the picture here. Joshua, therefore, commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. So you see, the Lord commanded and Joshua commanded. Both God the Father's command and Christ the Son's own command, by both of them, Christ our high priest arose out of the death, out of the grave. God the Father raised him, and he raised himself out of the grave. And when Christ arose to the right hand of the Father, all of his elect arose in him. Look over Colossians 2. Colossians 2. And look at verse 12. All right, again, I'm going to read just a portion of something here now. All right, look here. Begin with the word. Let's read the whole thing. Buried with him in baptism. That's what the picture is here. Buried with him. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now, I got a question for you. Now, I want you to think about this now. All right. Once they passed over that river, one of those verses in our text says that the waters went right back to flowing, like they were before he stood in the water, before the priest stood in the water. All right, once they were passed over that river began flowing again. That picture of this sin raging and flowing, it went to flowing again. But was that flowing river a threat to them once they had gone on over to the other side and they no longer had that river between them and the promised land? Did they even care anymore? Did that have any reason to cause them any fear or any trouble whatsoever? None at all. None at all. Now look at Romans 6 again. I should have told you to hold your place there. Believer, sin and death has no more dominion over you because we're risen with Christ to the other side. None. All right, look at Romans 6 and look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. That's all. How many times do you die? Once. And he did it. He died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, go back to our text. How can I be sure? I got to have some more proof of this. How can I be sure of this? All right, notice back here in Joshua chapter 4, and look at verse 9. Verse 9, Joshua 4, verse 9. Joshua, picture of Christ, he set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Some people think this is the exact spot where Christ went to be baptized of John the Baptist, and where God spoke from heaven and glorified him when the dove came down and said, this is my son. And some of the commentaries say that this is where John the Baptist was standing when he told the Pharisees, God could of these stones raise up children unto himself, and he was pointing to these stones. I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway, picture of Christ here. He set these stones in the midst of Jordan. And here comes the flood over it. Buries it. All right, now look down at verse 20. He had commanded them to take up some stones. We're going to look at this here in a minute, too. To take some stones out of Jordan. And now, those 12 stones, which they took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. So, you got 12 stones laying buried in the river of death where they are to this day. Colossians 3:3 says, "For ye are dead." And then you got 12 stones set on the other side of Jordan, because Colossians 3:3 says, "And your life is hid with Christ in God." You get the picture? Your old man is buried, out of sight, in the river of death, gone. But your new man is hid with Christ in God. Right now, believer, in the mind, and in the all-seeing eye of God, your old man of sin is dead. And it's gone. While your new man has eternal life with the Father. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is where we are. Christ said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? Believer, listen to this. When we come to that last Jordan that we have to cross a bunch of Jordans. All these trials, all these swelling of these Jordans that we can't cross, that they're too big for us, that Christ continually delivers us from, just like He did at the cross. When we get to that last one and we close our eyes, we're not going to die. That's what He said. When we close our eyes, we're going to open our eyes, and we're going to be there in body, soul, and spirit with all the saints. You say, "Well, what about our body going to the grave?" When you close your eyes in death, you ain't going to worry about that. You're just going to close your eyes in death and open your eyes, and every saint's going to be there. When Abel closed his eyes, when Cain killed him, and he opened them, he was with every saint Christ saved all at one time. There they all were. You say, "I don't understand that." Well, we're finite. We can't understand eternal things. But that's how it is. That's how it is. All right, now, can it get any better than that? Yeah, it gets better. It gets even better than that. Now look at this. Once on the other side, look at Joshua 4, verse 19. Once on the other side, it says, "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho." Now, the 10th day of the first month, this is what this means. God said they were going to wander in that wilderness for 40 years. This is, according to the best writers I could find, 5 days shy of 40 years. And if it's how it normally is, the 5 days shy is probably the result of a miscalculation by a man. Because it was probably 40 years to the day. It was probably 40 years to the day. Because God said that's how long it would be. God's fulfilling everything right on time, exactly how He said it would. And nobody's turning Him. Nobody's thwarting His purpose. All right, now watch this. This is what I want you to see. They encamped in Gilgal. It means a rolling away. Look at Joshua 5, verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Joshua," He said this to Joshua, picture of Christ, picture of God the Father saying this to Christ, Jesus, God the Son. He said, "This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." It means a rolling away. When God raised Christ, and when He raised His people in Christ had taken our sin. He had taken the sin of His people. And so when He raised Him, He rolled away the reproach of our sin off of Christ. He rolled it away. And likewise, when He rolled away the reproach off of Christ, the reproach of all our trespasses, along with the law which was against us, it's all rolled away. Every bit of it. Look back at Colossians 2. Should have told you to stay there too. Colossians 2. And look at verse 13. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God came in the season of His love, and He quickened you together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That means He rolled off of you all the reproach of that bondage of sin and death in Egypt, in that cursed land. And then look, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, that is the law, and took it out of the way, He rolled it off and nailing it to His cross. Believer, look at Hebrews 10:16 now. Everything that was against us is rolled away. The reproach is taken out of the way. Everything. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 16. Hebrews 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. After Christ finished this work, this is what He does for His people. I will put My laws into their hearts, in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities, the reproach of Egypt, the reproach of all the curse of Adam, of all our sin, of all our law breaking, of all our rebellion, their reproach will I remember no more. I'll remember it no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Are you trying to make up for that sin that just keeps bothering you and those sins that keep bothering you and you just say, I got to do something to make up for it? God said, there's no more offering. I don't remember them. The reproach has been rolled off. We're camped out in Gilgal, Eric. The reproach is rolled off. Look at Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that means I've been born again, regenerated, made a new creature in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free. Look back now at Hebrews 9 and verse 28. Hebrews 9, 28. Or I can just read this to you, but I want you to see it. Hebrews 9, 28. I said, now you noticed our text, it said, He said this to Christ. He said it to Joshua. I've rolled off the reproach of Egypt off of you. Now look at Hebrews 9, 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Why? Because all of it's been rolled off. The scapegoat has taken it into the wilderness and it's buried and it's gone and it is no more and it can't be found. It's as far as the east is from the west. He's cast it into the depths of the sea and God remembers it no more. It's gone. He's rolled off the reproach. All right, let's go back to Joshua chapter 4. Now, do you remember at the beginning why God said He was doing all this in our sight? The purpose for which He was doing all this? Go back to Joshua 4, verse 14. He said, today, Joshua, I'm going to magnify you in the sight of the people. Now, look here at verse 14. Joshua 4, 14. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him. as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Now, beholding Christ crucified in our room instead, when God brings you to see Him, but crucified in our room instead, accomplishing complete redemption for us, taking the law out of the way, nailing it to His cross, so that there's no sin, there's no transgression, there's nothing that His people can do to ever be removed out of God's delight anymore. Just the same as Christ there at His right hand can't be anything but just perfect in God's sight, right there by His side. That's so of His people. That's so of His people. And because that's so, brethren, God, giving us that sight of Christ, puts the fear, good fear, the good fear, into our hearts, pictured here by this new fear in Joshua, of Joshua. And what He does is this new godly reverence for Christ replaces that legal fear that we once had toward the law pictured in Moses. You see that? Before, we were trying to do something to get in God's grace, to get in God's favor, to get God to accept us. Trying to do something. Legal, fearful. All the time fearful. But when God shows you this that Christ has accomplished, that He has finished in the totality of it, where it's done. The law is satisfied. It's fulfilled. We've perfected it in Christ, by Christ. Not by us, by Him. Not by what we've done. Then when you see that, now you fear Him. You reverence Him. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. It's not that. No. This is that fear, that reverence. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Can you just imagine an orphan who has never had a father, never had a mother, never had anybody to love him whatsoever, was orphaned, cast out into the field, left in his blood, just left, and somebody comes along and adopts that child and takes that child and raises that child and loves that child and clothes that child and gives that child a roof over their head. Can you imagine what the difference would be from being in these foster homes and being out there where you're treated like you never were really loved? It was just a cold obedience that you had to render to those that had the rule over you, and there was no affection and no heart reverence there and nothing. It was just a form of love. That's all it was, a form of obedience. Going from that to where you've got everything given to you, and they love you, and your heart's overflowing with love for them. That's the difference between being in vain, false, free will, works religion, putting on a show, and being in Christ, and doing what you're doing because you love Him for what He's done for you. All right, now secondly, and this is my last point. I just have 2 points. God sanctifies us to use us for the holy use of declaring this gospel to others for the calling out of His lost sheep in this earth. The whole reason He does this and causes us to start following Christ is for the calling out of His sheep. All right, Joshua 4, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and they did as he commanded. God commanded 12 men be called, so Joshua did it. God commands, and Christ accomplishes what He commands. That's the picture here. God commands, and Christ Jesus, God the Son, accomplishes what the Father's pleasure is. Now these 12 men, you notice, were called out of the people, out of every tribe. Verse 5 says, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. You know what that signifies? That signifies that each elect child whom Christ redeemed shall be called to life and sanctified out of the people into Christ. There wasn't a one of them left. Now these 12 men, they gathered 12 stones from the river of death, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, where Christ stood. Christ called 12 apostles. And by them, by Him speaking to them, they stood firm in the gospel. And Christ called out more of His elect out of the river of death through His blood where He stood, and continues unto this day calling and building up His lively stones out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and people on earth. You see, He sanctified them for this use. And now He's showing us how He calls out His people through this gospel, like He did us. They left 12 stones in the lodging place when they got to the other side. They left 12 stones in the lodging place. Christ has left us in His church, which is our lodging place, but just for the night. That's what they left them in the lodging place just that night when they camped out there. We're in the lodging place, but this ain't where we're going to stay. Not right here, not in the earth. It's just for the night that we're here until Christ returns. And these 12 men were men, verse 4 said, whom Joshua had prepared. You see, every blood-bought, spirit-born child of God is a child that Christ has prepared. He's prepared him. Now, what was the purpose of these stones? What was the purpose of these stones? Believer, what's our purpose? You're living stones. That's what the Scripture says. That's what they pictured. They pictured us, the living stones, called out of the river of death and carried to the other side through the gospel. All right, what is it that these stones were called for? Look at chapter 4, verse 6. That this may be a sign among you. Chapter 4, verse 6 says, that this may be a sign among you. And in verse 7 it says, and those stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Now listen, believer, as living stones that have been dug out of the river of death by Christ through His witnesses, through the gospel, we are living stones and we're a sign. That's what we are. We're a sign of God's marvelous grace. We're a sign of the miracle of His grace. And we're for a memorial to the children of Israel, to those that have been called and to those of God's elect whom Christ shall yet call, to remind them of what God does. Do you see, you realize, believer, that without us doing anything, without us saying anything, without us doing all this stuff that worldly religion is doing, just the fact that you are a believer is a standing witness of Christ, just by the fact that you believe on Christ. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. That's a sign of God's grace. That's a memorial to God's amazing, sovereign grace to work in His child and make you believe on Him. Now, what are we to declare as witnesses, though? We are to declare something. What are we to declare? Look at Joshua 4:22. Then you shall let your children know. He said, when they ask you, what are these signs? What are these memorials? In other words, when our children say, why do you come into this place to worship? Step on some toes. Some could say, I come in here to sleep. Why do you come into this place? I come in here to be a sign, to be a memorial of what God has done, what God's done by His grace. Then you shall let your children know, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over. Just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us until we were gone over. This is our message. We only declare what God our Savior has accomplished for His elect. You see, this is what He says. What do you say to Him? Verse 22, we say, we came over this Jordan on dry land because the Lord our God did it. Because He did it. Deuteronomy 3:24 says, O Lord God, Thou hast begun to show Thy servant Thy greatness, and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? That's our message. Well, we're going to meet with enemies, aren't we? We'll meet with a lot of enemies. You know, they got over there and there was a whole lot of enemies over there. All those ites they ran into once they got over there. What are they going to do about that? Well, verse Joshua 4:13 tells us that they were a well-armed army ready for warfare. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. They're ready to do battle. But you know, 40,000 people was a remnant compared to the number of enemies that they faced in Canaan. They were a remnant. 40,000 people, that was nothing compared to all those nations mightier than they were. That's how it is with us. We're a remnant around all our enemies, but we're a remnant armed. We're a remnant prepared for war, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. First city they come to is Jericho. Man, it's a stronghold. It's got walls all the way around it, and there's no way anybody could penetrate that stronghold except for them walking around it seven times and blowing a trumpet, and the walls fell down. Because the gospel, this trumpet we're blowing, is mighty through God. He pulls the strongholds down. When He shows you that view of Christ in your heart, when He takes you from Shittim and brings you down to Jordan and makes you sit there for 3 days and look at your sin and your death, and then He shows you Christ stepped into that Jordan and dried up that river, and you go across to Gilgal and find that all the reproaches rolled off of you, all that defense you had built up, all those bulwarks you had ready to shoot at the preacher and to shoot at daddy and to shoot at mama and to tell him, I don't have nothing to do with that. I don't want to go back there ever again. All of a sudden, them strongholds come down and you're saying, what is happening here? I didn't mean for this to happen. I believe in God. I didn't want this to happen. I didn't want that. What happened? God got a hold to you. God pulled the strongholds down. Brethren, the work He's already finished for us is a guarantee to us that He shall make us victorious against any enemy we face. That's how He started this. This is how you're going to know that I'm with you. This is how you're going to know that I will without fail drive away all your enemies. How? Look to the cross. He already did that. He gave His only begotten Son who was made sin for us and put away the transgression in our sins. What other enemy is anything but just the flick of a finger to Him? Huh? He said, if He spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The rest is easy. The hard part's done. He's already done that part. All right. This work He separated us unto has a twofold end. This is my ending. It's for two reasons. Look at Joshua 4:24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. We go forth preaching and, you know, not many people believe. And sometimes we like Elias, you know, saying, Lord, they're all gone and I'm here left alone. Nobody believes. And he has to remind us, I have preserved some elect to myself. And I'm going to call them out. But it doesn't matter if He calls them out when we're preaching and we're bearing witness in this place or not. Because He said, you're a savor of life unto death to some, a savor of life unto life to others. It doesn't matter if it's just death unto death. In the end, because of this gospel, all the people of the earth are going to know the hand of the Lord is mighty. All of them are. And some of them are going to know it because He saved them. And maybe He'll do it through our gospel. I hope so. He has. He has. All right. And this gospel, secondly, this gospel that has been graciously entrusted to us, as we go forth declaring this gospel, it's not only for the benefit of others that He does it this way. It's for our benefit, too. He says, verse 24, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Just imagine this. Imagine that you're going to fight a war. And the way you fight this war is, you eat bread. You eat bread. And as you eat bread, you defeat all your enemies. All your enemies are overcome by this bread. And at the same time, it's strengthening you the whole time that you eat it. That's what the gospel is. We're going forth with the gospel, and Christ, our manna from heaven, is conquering all our enemies, whether in grace or in judgment, one of the two. And at the same time, we're just eating the bread and being strengthened. This is how God sanctifies Christ in the hearts of His people and makes Christ all unto us. I pray He'll do that for somebody. I pray He'll do it for one of His lost sheep. Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something? Did you notice this? The ark came behind the last one that crossed over the Jordan. He went before them. Christ went before us into the river of death, but it says that ark didn't come up out of that river till the last one went across, and then he went across with them. Was there any left back over there in the wilderness? Was there any left over there on that side of Jordan? Not a one of them. So it will be in the end. Amen, brethren.